Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll be joined by Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com coming up at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Joe Rex Road is live in Indianapolis, fresh off the Titans media day yesterday at the NFL Combine. So Rand Carthon speaking, obviously Mike Vrabel speaking, Tim Kelly speaking as well. And we've reacted to that. Continue to take your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. But, Joe, you've talked about it, and we've kind of teased it all morning. The more you think about the Titans quarterback situation, the more you think that maybe it is time to consider going in a different direction at the quarterback position. What are your thoughts on where the Titans quarterback situation currently sits? And what the roster, what the change in GM, what all these different factors influence the way you view the quarterback position? How do you view how the Titans should handle this as they move forward for the rest of this offseason?
Yeah, well, I wrote a column about this in The Athletic, and it's kind of a long story, so I'll try to keep it nice and condensed. There was a story this week by Matt Barrows, who covers the 49ers for us, about Brock Purdy. And how his S2 cognition testing was off the charts. So S2 testing, I think you're going to hear more about it. We've talked about it before. This is two former Vanderbilt professors. They study the brain. They've helped people with Alzheimer's and things like that. So their lives have kind of been built on, brain function and trying to help people, improve it and also to analyze it. And long story short, they started this company called S2 Cognition in 2016 in Nashville, left Vanderbilt, and with the idea of cognitive testing to evaluate athletes and also to help athletes get better. This is a really effective thing, for example, with baseball. You can really kind of tell if someone is going to be a good hitter or not with some of their tests. Vanderbilt Baseball is a client of S2 Cognition. So I got the piece of information that I got this week was that, and as soon as I heard it, I'm like, see, that's it. Like, for me, I'm very familiar with S2. I wrote about these guys a few years ago with Joe Burrow came out. Joe Burrow destroyed the test.
Yeah.
Now they've kind of gone back now. They're built, they're trying to, it's a business. They're trying to demonstrate to people that this is predictive, right? And if you look at the data, and Barrows had this in his story, the quarterbacks who perform well in the league pretty much fall on the lines of do well on the S2 testing and it go, And so again, it's also important for other positions. Safety is a huge, when I wrote about it a couple of years ago, there was, they wouldn't give names on this, but there was, there were comparisons side by side of like a safety who had ran a way better 40, all the measurables were way better. And then this other safety who did not match up physically, but crushed the S2 testing. One of them's a Pro Bowler. One of them was in the league for 3 years and was out. And again, the guy who tested well in these tests about spatial understanding and distraction control and all these things. Okay, so again, I'm making it too long, of course. So I'm sorry, but when I heard that Bryce Young destroyed his S2 and he's going to be responsible to release the number. Burrow did that back in the day. That to me, that's it. And then, I've also found out this week that the Titans are now clients. The S2 guys tried for years to get the Titans to sign up, and the Titans were like, yeah, we're good. Robinson, and so they went with the Colts. Robinson, they decided now to go with two teams in each division. Initially, they've only gone with one team. So now the Titans are a client. So John Robinson, first of all, gets a kudos in September for getting them on a three-year deal with S2 because this is going to help them evaluate players. Regardless of the quarterback situation, that is significant news to me that they have they've embraced this. This is kind of like embracing analytics in a different way, but player evaluation – these tests, I think more and more, like the Wonderlic is just dead. Who cares? The right. Wonderlic is so dumb. And this is actual, how does the brain function? And for quarterbacks, quickly processing things and being able to calmly execute, this is the best way that I know to measure it. Long story short, that And when I heard that about Bryce Young, I'm like, that's it, man. Like, it totally explains his, like, how he seems to have a sixth sense in the pocket. And to me, that dude is either going to be your quarterback at a huge cost, or he's going to kick your ass for a long time because he's going to be with the Colts or the Texans. So I'll hear everybody telling me about Bryce Young and he's little and he's his durability and all that stuff. That's fine. It may be true. It's a risk. It's a gamble from that perspective. But from the perspective of his skill set translating the NFL and him being a great player, I'll put myself out there right now. He is going to be a great quarterback in the NFL. So the Titans should go get him. There's my long story.
Well, just for excuse me, just for reference, and you put this in your story too, to put a numerical value to the S2 testing, right? So the S2 guys consider anything above a score of 80 to be elite, and Joe Burrow had a was a 97, right? So I mean, I don't know specifically what Bryce Young's score is, but let's say it's just somewhere in that ballpark. I mean, that's part of what makes Joe Burrow great, right? I mean, yes, he makes great throws and he's got the arm talent and he's got some escapability to him, all those things. But the big thing that even going back to the draft process, when people were talking about Joe Burrow obviously being the number one overall pick, it was his ability to process information and make quick, good decisions with the ball. And Bryce Young, if he's in that category, making good decisions with the ball. I hear everything everybody's saying about the size risk and the injuries, all those things. And I'm not, you know, I'm not disconcerned about those things. Like I want to be, I want him to get a little bigger and I want him to be a little bit more durable. And we'll see whether or not he can add some weight and do that. But there are so many other things, Joe, about Bryce Young that lead me to believe that I'm with you. Like, I think he's got a chance to be really, really good in the NFL for a long time.
So, and we've talked about this, there are two different ways. See that, and I know someone on the text line is going to say this, and you're not wrong. Okay, so draft Bryce Young, and then because you did that, you can't fix the offensive line, so you get him killed as a rookie. I understand the sentiment. Two things. One, you can do this, and I can't in my mind come up with a plan that leapfrogs the Colts and Texans, and potentially, I mean, they aren't the only two, but they're just the two in the best position, basically, who would want a quarterback. You know, it's the number two pick and the number four pick. You're the Bears. You like the idea of, hey, we'll move down to two. Yeah, we'll move down to four. But to move down to 11, I just don't see. I don't see a scenario that doesn't include Jeffrey Simmons. I just don't.
Agreed.
Proven great player. And someone on a comment on my column was like, that'd be like trading AJ Brown. The difference is AJ Brown was a panic move, and it wasn't because you so desperately wanted Treylon Burks. It was just because you were sick of the AJ Brown negotiations. You were worried about it not working out. So you did that, and then you're like, okay, who can we get? I mean, this is intentional to go get, if they agree with me, the absolute best player at what we can all agree is the absolute most important position. It would hurt, there's no doubt. But you could be talking about a decade. If he is what I think he is and what I think he will be, then you're talking about a decade or a decade plus of finally having that quarterback. And so to me, the short term, as great as Jeffrey Simmons is, he's got some very good years ahead of him here. That's if that's correct, if you believe it, it's an easy call.
Well, and you know, right now, like it's the only other option at quarterback that I think is within the realm of possibility in terms of finding your quarterback in the draft. I think like it's to me, it's going to be Tannehill's the quarterback for the Titans next year, or one of these guys in the draft is going to be the quarterback for the Titans next year. Like, you know, Derek Carr's meeting with teams left and right. The Titans are not one of those teams, right? You know, Aaron Rodgers has emerged from the darkness and apparently went on some podcast yesterday that's coming out today about his experience there. I don't think that the Titans and Aaron Rodgers are going to end up being a match, regardless of what he decides to do at some point, maybe soon. Who knows what happens with him? I bring all that up to say, like, it's going to be Tannehill next year, or it's going to be a quarterback this year in the draft. And if it's Tannehill next year, that's fine. But again, you're not going to be in position, barring total disaster next year, to go get your quarterback then. Like Caleb Williams, Drake May, we talked a lot about this. I mean, there are teams that are going to be highly, highly motivated and highly interested in getting those guys next year.
And crappy.
So well, terrible to do it. Yeah. Yeah. They're going to be terrible to do it. So, I mean, you're just at some point you got to figure it out. Now, that doesn't mean that just because you have to figure out the quarterback position of the future that you act rashly and you just have to go do it now just for the sake of doing it. But if you believe that Bryce Young's that guy, like, I think it makes more sense to do it now than to just go back with Tannehill next year and hope that you're in somewhat of a position to find a quarterback next year. I just don't think you will be.
And look, the Titans may totally disagree with the point about Young, and they may be like, oh, Anthony Richardson is going to be the next great quarterback. Okay. I mean, they have their evaluation. They are grinding film on these guys, have way more information and way better analysis of the information than we can provide. So if it's somebody else, and maybe it doesn't hurt quite as much to get them, okay, fine. You know, and like you said, Robbie, if it's just, don't love any of them, but we're in position, then don't do it. You know, you only do it if you're resolved. Again, you're resolved that this is the guy. This is who we want. This is who we want to be in the future. But if on the flip side of that, if you're just going with Tannehill, then you better believe that you can win the Super Bowl next year.
I got a text that says, do you think Jeffrey Simmons alone would be enough to trade for the number one pick and keep our number 11 pick? No.
It'll be Simmons, the 11, next year's first, a second. I mean, no, you're trying to leapfrog teams that allow the Bears to, like, just drop a little bit and still get a premium player. So, no, it's an absolute haul. It's going to hurt if you actually want to try to do this.
615-737-1025. So you've heard Rex Rhodes' idea. You've heard his plan for what the quarterback position could look like for the Titans this offseason. And he's a big fan of Bryce Young. What do you make of it? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025-1063, The Game. Make sure you check out Nashville's best deal this week. It's 312 Pizza Company. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. You can get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company at thegamenashville.com/deals now while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025-1063 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from the 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad says it's time to go after Bryce Young this offseason in the draft. If you're the Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line. Liam on the text line says, Connor Bedard and Bryce Young, besties forever, and bringing championships to Nash Vegas for the next decade plus. Let's go. This is from Liam on the text line.
Leap the bed for Bedard and... Let's see. We have to come up with something for Bryce.
Bleep
get
bed
old
for, Bryce.
For young? No, I don't know.
There we go.
That's a great point. Bryce and Bedard, they can go to each other's games. It'll be amazing.
Yeah, nice friendship that could be established here very early in the city of Nashville. Sean on the text line says, no, hell no, I hate all this chatter. Unless Simmons pulls an AJ and refuses to sign an extension, I'm not trading him. The Titans beat Peyton on the regular because they had Haynesworth, Curse, etc. Now, I don't know what on the regular means. There wasn't an on the regular beating of Peyton Manning that took place.
Yeah, on the regular. Tell me how many times. I mean, that there is no doubt that team, that particular team was the 08 team, right? With
correct.
When they still had, those guys. Haynesworth for a couple of years was the most dominant guy in the middle of a defensive line in the league. Vanden Bosch and those guys. I mean, I understand it. You're signing up. It's a little bit like the Preds. You're signing up to for some pain, you know, for some now. But to me, a more certainty if you get Bryce Young. Yeah, this is only considered if you think of him when I do. And Look, I mean, the S2 thing, it just is something I've been familiar with for a few years. I've taken all those tests, which I know whatever. But the thing is, when you take them, you realize, wow, people who like are really good at this have incredible brains. Like I sucked and I thought I
Joe,
had an
I'm sure
okay
you were
brain.
really good.
Do you and Burrow
No,
have the
no.
same score?
No, in all seriousness, like I think I've said this on the show. Like, it actually made me feel a little bit better about my failed athletics career because it isn't just lack of athleticism. It's like my brain doesn't. Dude, I was terrible. I was like, are you guys kidding me? Like, these things are crazy. So, like, putting that to what we already see on the field from Bryce Young or Joe Burrow, and you know, the fact that it kind of answers why it's like, again, it's like a brain 40 time, you know? Like, Burrow runs a 4.2 in his brain. And now we know Bryce Young. I don't have the number. I think it's real high. And it has been since he was in high school. He's been taking these tests since high school. So he's been with these guys for a while. So look, man, so I put more stock in that because I know it is. I think it will be a bigger part of the discussion around player evaluation moving forward. And it just confirms what you see from him on the field, you know, to me. So I get it. I hate, I mean, you should hate the idea of trading Jeffrey Simmons. I totally understand it. But you just tell me what's more important. Jeffrey Simmons is going to be a great player next year, and Tannehill's going to be a good quarterback next year. And I can see him going 10-7 if they fix a lot of things they need to fix.
Exactly. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
You know what sucks though, because I know Joe's right. It's like I look at a team like Washington, or not Washington, the Rams that won the Super Bowl, and go, all right, they got to have their star D tackle, and they get to have all these guys that they can throw $20 million a year at, and the Titans get like one dude they could throw $20 million a year at. You know, like it's not fair. And I understand what you're saying. Like you gotta have a piece to be able to get up there and get him, but it's just so frustrating to me. And But look, Joe, this is my only rebuttal. I think Jeff is the most important player on our team right now. Like I'm not saying that the quarterback position is not the most important position, but I'm saying when he was hurt last year, that is what stopped us, in my opinion. Like I thought he was absolutely, you could tell when he got hurt and when things were different, our defense did not work when he was hurt. I mean, you gotta really, like, you're hitting the reset button hard. You are stepping on it for 5 seconds until it goes black if you trade Jeffrey Simmons, man.
Thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, look, I agree. Like, I think he's their best
I
player
agree.
Right now. I think he's their best player. But if you're going to make a move, to your point, Joe, you've got to elevate a lot of other teams. I mean, it's the Texans and the Colts, yes. I don't think the Texans and the Colts are going to be the only team trying to get up to number one. So if you're
right.
dropping all the way down to 11, if you're the Bears, like, you have to put a package together that they can't refuse. And look, maybe the Titans and maybe, you know, a lot of fans out there say, well, just don't do it. Like, it's not worth it. And maybe that's the conclusion that the Titans come to as well. I'm just saying, like, I don't see a way the Titans can get to the number one overall pick if Jeffrey Simmons isn't included in the package.
Yeah. And look, I agree with what Adam said. I'd also then respond, is it good if your defensive tackle is the most important player in your team? Now, granted, the Rams would say it works out okay.
Right.
But yeah, I just look.
Now, keep in mind on the Rams, yes, Aaron Donald was the most important player on their team, but the equation changed when they made a change at quarterback.
Yes. And they had the best receiver in the league last year, at least production-wise. They brought in Von Miller. They have an elite corner, all that. I mean, they were loaded. You know, they loaded up, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they are moving forward. Maddie says, play like dung for Young. That's good. The problem is, like, we already know, like so it has to be something related to the trade, right? Like, it's a great motto during the season when you're trying to figure out draft positioning. But
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, for sure. I got a text that
Dung
says,
for Young.
I think you are short selling the depth of next year's quarterback draft. There could be as many as 8 legitimate first round quarterback prospects. Run it back with Tannehill this year and get your guy next year when you could do so without completely wiping out your draft capital. This is from a texter on the text line.
Yeah, and I responded. I said, look, I hear you. There's a lot of intriguing prospects. I think I said this yesterday. I've had some conversations with people here about Joe Milton. My goodness. Oh, my, my.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Milton in the next year is going to be the range of possibilities is so wide, it's mind-blowing. And yeah, there are other guys. All we talk about is Williams and May. And I'm not sure Drake May is going to be a great NFL quarterback either. But those two guys, I do think it would take some surprising developments for them not to be the top two in the draft next year. And I do think that a lot of teams look at them on a certain plane, possibly better than anybody in this draft. This is where I disagree. I think Bryce Young is going to be every bit of what those guys are in the NFL. And look, when you predict that stuff, so much of it is where do you go? What is the situation? There have been great quarterbacks that have come in this league that we never found out they were because of where they went. Lots of Lions quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. You could still get another. You could still get your quarterback next year, and it doesn't have to be those two. But you have to tell me then, who is it? Who do you feel good about right now? I mean, there are a lot of possibilities, but like I see Sam Hartman, for example. I like Sam Hartman. I don't know. I think he's a good college quarterback. I've seen some lists that have him like as a third or fourth guy next year. Michael Penix, I like him. He's a good college quarterback. I think those two guys, maybe with Milton, stand far above.
Adam in Portland has texted back in, any price for Bryce, maybe the slogan.
Oh, that's a good one.
Any price
Very
for
well
Bryce.
Done. Very well done.
That's the winner.
I think we may have
nice.
Found it.
All right.
There we go.
You got it.
615-737-1025. We'll have Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans, get his thoughts on the NFL Combine as well. So we'll continue to take your thoughts on that. We'll get back into the Preds coming up next. A massive move made yesterday by the Predators as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
You know, you get the news. It was close to the game, I think, when everyone was coming back to the rink. So I think some guys are shocked. You know, we're shocked that it happened. But I think at this point, you know, with what's going on, I don't think it's a surprise. You know, but I know we handled it the right way. And I thought guys, you know, although it's disappointing to lose Ecky, again, really good guy, assistant captain, big impact player for us, you know, been here for a long time. And a great teammate. So it's you know, those situations are always difficult. Like, we're losing great guys and we're losing good players.
That was John Hines after the Predators game last night. Preds fall 3-1 last night to the Pittsburgh Penguins. But the story of the day, Mattias Ekholm traded from Nashville to the Edmonton Oilers. Preds send Ekholm and a 6th-round pick to Edmonton in exchange for Tyson Barrie, a veteran defenseman, Reach Schaefer, a 1st-round pick from a year ago, a 1st-round pick in this year's draft, and the 4th-round pick in next year's draft. So 4 assets back for the Predators in exchange for Mattias Ekholm, and another seismic move made in a seismic shift of a week for the Nashville Predators. We've seen Nino Niederreiter be traded, Tanner Janot be traded for 6 assets. Obviously, the big news of the week remains David Poile deciding to retire and Barry Trotz stepping in as general manager, and now Mattias Ekholm traded as well. So this is a massive shift in the landscape of the Predators franchise so far this week, Joe. And the Mattias Ekholm trade's a big one. We wondered whether or not it would happen by the deadline coming up on Friday. We've talked about, you know, moving guys with term can be a little bit more difficult, but the Predators did it, and they got a 1st-round pick back, a 1st-round pick from a year ago in the draft. They got a 4th-round pick in next year's draft, and obviously Tyson Barrie coming back as well. So the Predators continuing to add assets in what has been an extremely busy week for them thus far.
I mean, the Preds are doing a heck of a job of saying, you know what, NFL Combine week usually dominates the news. How about a little bit of this? You know, it's what a few days of news making, and also just of franchise transforming. My goodness. And it's good. I feel like Predators fans, there's a lot of rejuvenation, a lot of excitement right now. And now over time, if you've got a not very good hockey team on the ice next season. You know, that may wear off a little bit, but bottom line is they got a chance to totally reform the future here, and it's going to be really interesting to see how it goes. You know, one point made, Robbie, by Shayna Goldman, at the Athletic. I hadn't really thought about this, but she makes a good point. You know, we were joking earlier about the little retention of 4% of Ekholm's salary.
Yeah.
You can only do that with three. You can only have three players you retain salary on. And her point was like, right now they could leverage their cap space and they just waste one of their slots with 4%. So there's a criticism I didn't really think of in the moment, but it's like, if you want to do this now, are they going to do more than two other players? You know, I don't know. They must not think so, right?
Well, they hardly ever do it at all. So
yeah, but hey, they're doing a lot of stuff now that they don't normally do.
That is true.
I mean, just in the last few years, all of a sudden they used to never do no movement clauses, and there's some things that, and now all of a sudden David Poile is a seller for the first time in a long time, and it's like, ooh, selling is kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's been wild to see what has happened so far with the Predators. Josh on the text line says, I love these moves by the Preds. They heard it first, but this draft capital is going to be a good thing. We just can't see it yet. This is from Josh on the text line. Like, I think a lot of Predators fans, we used the word rejuvenated yesterday. I think there's some of that. And, look, it hurts to see Ekholm go, right? I mean, he's a guy that I think is still playing at a pretty high level. You know, when you start talking about high-paid guys that aren't living up to their contracts, I don't know that I would put Matthias Ekholm in that category. Now, I would say just watching him play, he's probably not exactly the same guy as he was a couple of years ago. I mean, the skating, maybe not quite as good. He's 32. He'll be 33 coming up. So, you're on the other side of things for sure when it comes to, the skating ability in this league. But – number one, I think he's a perfect fit with Edmonton. Like, I think they've needed a guy like him for a long time. And I had some people from Edmonton reach out to me yesterday just to kind of get a lay of the land on him. And, like, I think if you could hand pick a defenseman, obviously that's not some of the elite guys around the league. Like, defensively, I think Ekholm's exactly what they need. So I'm interested to see how he fits in Edmonton. And we talked about it yesterday. Like, all these moves are being made in the Eastern Conference. And I wonder, like, is there a Western Conference team that looks around and says, man, this thing's wide open. We need to go get a defenseman. Let's go get him. And Edmonton did it. And, look, I thought the return was good from the Predators. There were some people I saw that thought they could get more back for Ekholm. And I understand that thought process. But, again, like, I think people are misreading where the market is right now. If you've got term on your contract, it just affects the price negatively. It does. And it doesn't matter who it is. Like, it affects the price negatively given where the cap situation is right now. And now, having said that, I still thought the return was pretty good for Ekholm.
I didn't think they'd get quite this much. Now, this doesn't match the return we discussed yesterday.
No.
That Oilers fans were putting together as a possibility. So it's not that haul, but we discussed yesterday, okay, what if you just strip it down to a first-round pick? Do you do it? And it's like, it's really close. This was a little bit more than I thought they'd get. I know that there's some question with Schaefer for sure. Like, so far, it's not – like, there's some troubling – there's some people that are questioning whether, he's going to be a good player. But it's still, first-round pick from a year ago. I mean, there's a long – lot of things to figure out still there.
Right.
And I think you had to do it. You had to do it. And I agree with you. I think Ekholm is going to be perfect for Edmonton. I think they've needed a guy like Ekholm for a while. And I think maybe in the postseason, I really enjoyed covering Matthias Ekholm, and I know you did too. I may have to, go get an Oilers hat for the spring. It'd be fun to see them make a run, to see that move work out for them, and just to see the greatest player in the world play as much hockey as possible this spring too, by the way.
Well, I'm looking forward to the Stanley Cup final of Matthias Ekholm and the Oilers against Tanner Janot and the Lightning. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to that coming up this spring.
Ekholm gonna have to feel the sting of Janot headhunting him along the boards there.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, and by the way, like, there's been this thought too, like, the Predators have been winning, right? And they've taken on some bad teams and they've won. And even some people have asked me this week, like, wouldn't the perfect scenario be to sell off all these people and then still make a run at the playoffs anyway? And I was like, well, yeah, if you could do it, that would be great. Now, you're getting
it'd be great for John Hines.
It'd be great for John Hines, no question about it. Now, you're getting to the point where the lineup is it's getting real young. And I like that. Like, I think that's exciting, but that is also going to cut into your chances. I mean, your chances aren't good anyway. And then you lose the game last night, and they're at 64 points, and they're 8 points back of a playoff spot. Winnipeg, by the way, has slid down to the last wild card team, which shows you how Minnesota and Colorado have played lately. Don't look now, by the way. Colorado's 2 points out of the division lead, so and with two games in hand. So yeah. Playoffs are all but shot at this point if you're the Predators, but I think they know that, and that's why they're making these moves. And, you know, we got the question earlier, if you're a veteran guy on this team right now, how are you feeling? You're probably not feeling great, but, again, you've had your opportunities to avoid this happening, and you haven't been able to take advantage of it. And now I am interested, like, now that Ekholm's gone, are they done? Or is there another move or two that could be coming? Like, I'm not gonna sit here and think that they're done. Like, I still think Fabbro is a prime candidate to be moved. You know, they got Barry back in the Ekholm deal yesterday. Do they try to flip him? And could there be somebody else that we're not thinking of right now that gets included in the mix? What about a Granlund? Like, is there any appetite around the league to that? I mean, we talked about it, Joe. The trade deadline's Friday. Most of the moves have been made by now. Does somebody get desperate Friday looking around and say, man, I don't know, we need to add? I mean, that's what you could be hoping for if you're the Predators.
Yeah. There could be more to come. And to the point on this team, I think it's going to be fun watching them. You're going to see a lot of young guys. You know, I have a question about Forsberg here. You know, IR retroactive to February 11th. And so who knows how long that lasts. Clearly that hit has made a big impact on him. And you wonder, with a situation like that, if they fade, they keep fading before he comes back. Like, do you put him back in harm's way if it's like 2 weeks from now and you're clearly out?
I think he'll be back Thursday. I don't know that.
He'll be back Thursday?
But he's skating. He's in a non-contact jersey. And I think John Hines said yesterday his return is imminent. So I think he'll be back Thursday. That's just
my
guess.
Well, the thing, if he is, that's the thing too. It's like, okay, so what if Forsberg goes on a heater? I mean, Forsberg goes through those stretches where he carries the team. He could still do that now, you know?
I agree.
Like, I mean, you know, it's not impossible. That would be, you know, that there, and of course, that would make it really interesting. You still have the young guys. You still, you know, you're thinking about the future, but a Forsberg heater could potentially at least make it interesting a little longer.
Well, and like just seeing what the young guys can do, right? Like Tomasino, like I think Tomasino, based on what I've seen, has played well enough that even if Forsberg comes back and they start to get some bodies back, now they've traded some bodies now, so I think it's a foregone conclusion that Philip Tomasino is here for the rest of the year. But like Evangelista, right? They just brought him up yesterday. I thought he played pretty decent last night. I mean, he didn't score, but I thought he was fine last night. How long of a look do they want to give him at the NHL level? Like, you know, we had Poile on a couple of weeks ago, and we asked him about Evangelista. And he was talking about next year, like, you know, he could get a call up next year. Now, obviously, things have gone the other way, and people were very excited to see him get called up yesterday and to play. Like, are we going to start to see them give these guys a look at the NHL level? Or when Forsberg comes back and they start to look at the roster, is it more of a benefit to try to see Milwaukee go on a run here down in the minors? I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do that.
Yeah, that's always, that whole conversation always befuddled me a little bit, but I know that I understand there's benefit to, you know, the team success at the HL level too, and what, you know, how that relates to player development. But yeah, look, I mean, I was surprised, you know, I assumed Afanasyev, you know, Poile mentioned someone coming up. I was actually really surprised it was Evangelista. I just thought maybe he was like, he's one of those guys that physically you just want to like give him one more summer before you even have the dudes up here, you know,
yeah,
coming after him. But it makes it more fun. I mean, to me, it's just him, because I think that he has a chance to maybe be a real nice player for this franchise. Just him alone makes it more intriguing to watch this team moving forward.
Well, we said it earlier. I mean, you take a look at the next three drafts for the Predators. They have five first-round picks in the next 3 years. They have 5 second round picks in the next 3 years and 5 third round picks. You're talking about 15 picks in the first three rounds the next 3 years. You know, it's not a guarantee, but your chances of finding somebody that can really be a game breaker for you go up when you have that many kicks at the cans, kicks at the can in the top three rounds. And, you know, you got to do the right things. You got to scout right. You know, Barry Trotz is going to have to make the right decisions in the drafts coming up, but you've now put yourself in a position where you at least got a shot at it.
No, absolutely. It's just the math, you know, more opportunities, and then you can have a miss or two and still be fine because you have so many chances.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators as well. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Ah, yes, the smile on Michelle's face every time that she has an excuse to play this song coming back from a break.
It's March 1st. It's March 1st, baby.
It is March 1st. It's that time of the year. It's that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. And y'all don't have much of a rant today. My rant is, why can all NHL trade deadlines not be like this one, where everything in the world is happening all at once, and by the time the actual deadline gets around, I'm not sure there's going to be anything left. This has really been, for our purposes, this has been about the easiest week of sports talk radio that I can remember in a long time. Like today, the problem was, hey, man, we have way too much to talk about in a three-hour period. What exactly, how are we going to divide this up? Like, my rant is, like, this has been fun, and I've enjoyed the heck out of this from a coverage standpoint. Why can't we have this every year? It's just, it's amazing to think about how much differently the Predators are viewed right now and what they were this time a week ago. Like, think about last Friday and the conversations we were having about the Predators of, okay, are they finally going to sell? Are they actually going to do this thing? Like, what does the future look like for John Hines and David Poile and all these different things? Like, is David Poile going to be allowed to call the shots next year? And from then until now, you've made trades where you've acquired 8 draft picks. You've got assets coming back that are restocking your pipeline. And you've made some big moves with roster players. The general manager has announced his retirement. A former head coach that is beloved here has now stepped in to be the next general manager. It's been a wild, like, 4 or 5 days with the Nashville Predators that in some ways I think has totally changed people's perspective of how they view this franchise moving forward.
It's been amazing. Oh, my God. But you know what, though? I can still find a way to complain about this, Robbie.
Okay.
Like, can we get one of these things and, like, put it in July?
Yeah, like, there's that.
You know, like, I mean, it's March. There is some big college basketball stuff happening. I mean, my gosh, Zakai Ziegler, you know, we'll see if we find out about that today. That totally changes their season. The combine usually is just fine. There's plenty of stuff with that. And now the Predators decided to just absolutely just blow everything up and flip everything on its head, which I agree with you. It's a lot of fun. And for us, it's been very easy. But also, I'm like, can we just save some of this stuff? You know, just spread it out a little bit. I mean, even like to April. I mean, look, this year we're probably not going to have Preds playoffs to talk about in late April, early May. So it'd be nice to be able, because at that point, then we're going to have to start doing, like, you know, Mount Rushmore of Nashville Predators trades or something. You know,
well, some of those could have happened this week. We'll see what happens on that front. No, yeah, I get it. I mean, It's wild that all this is happening now. And it does make me think about, like, what else is going to happen? Like, David Poile said on our show yesterday that he's not going to tear the team down. And, you know, I get it. But, I mean, you've already made some big moves. And I do wonder, Like, are there other big ones coming? Like, the Soros thing is interesting to me. Like, I don't know that it's coming. Look, Barry Trotz loves his goaltenders. I get all that. And Soros, I'm not sure now's the right time just based on, you know, Askarov's not ready. But it does make me wonder, like, they've gone further than I thought they would go at the deadline right now in terms of selling. How much further are they willing to go, I think, is a really interesting question.
Well, you know, the goalie question is a great one to bring up because, in my mind, you've done so much trading for assets now that, to me, it's like basically 0% chance that anything would happen at the deadline because you're not getting back a great player. Obviously, people who are looking to buy right now are keeping their good current players. They're trying to make a run this spring, right?
Right.
But I think down the line, some of these picks and Soros or Askarov could be parlayed into maybe that great forward, that great centerman. You know, and I know that it still sounds like a pipe dream. How many teams are giving those guys up? But I'm just saying, I feel like if and when, I still feel like one of these goalies at some point has to be utilized in the new to help you reform this team. But I think it's going to be something probably for a proven player, a proven skater to come in. And that's the thing. If you think about what they've accumulated now, you could come up with something pretty compelling with one of those goalies and still end up with a great goaltender, if Askarov is that, in the net for many years to come. I just don't see why. To me, it's with all your other needs still and the questions about the roster moving forward, I just don't see how you're just going to be rolling with Soros and Askarov for several years like you did with Rene and Soros.
Well, and I agree, and I'm interested now. Like, the draft lottery starts to become, a real conversation because you've put yourself in a position from a roster standpoint where you're going to have a lot of young guys playing. And look, I think the Predators will win some games. I think that they'll, you know, Soros is still in goal, so they'll win some games moving forward. Are they going to be bad enough down the stretch here where they can at least get in the conversation of giving themselves a small, very small chance at winning the draft lottery for Connor Bedard? Because, you know, with changes they've made to the lottery format, there's a move-up limitation. Like, you can only move up 10 picks. That's the max you can move up. So, like, if you're out of the playoffs and you're, you know, at number 14 overall, you can't win. Like, you can't win the draft lottery. Like, if the Predators end up at, you know, 11th overall, then you can. Like, you've got a chance there. Like, it's – so a lot of teams are right there kind of in that mix right now. Like, the Preds in the West, they just kind of are where they are. They're at 64 points. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're also 7 points up on St. Louis in the race right now, who is also kind of – nuked their team as well. And then there's the East, and there's all these playoff or these non-playoff teams like Washington and Detroit and Ottawa. They've all got the exact same amount of points as the Predators do. Florida's there at 66. Like, where are the Predators going to end up in the final standings? I mean, the chances, let's say they end up at 10 or 11. The chances of you getting Connor Bedard at that point are very, very small, and it's extremely unlikely. But it's a chance. Whereas if you're 13 or 14, you don't have that chance.
So how about some OHL call-ups?
Yeah, just keep them coming.
Yeah, it's
tryouts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I hear that the Mighty Drunks have some good players on their roster. Gover, get your butt out there.
Starting on a defense pairing with Roman Josi, it's Jeremy K. Gover, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh God! Yeah, I mean, just imagine if somehow they won the lottery and they were able to draft Bedard.
This place would go nuts.
Jeez, that might be a bigger party than the Stanley Cup parade Barry Trotz has been talking about.
It might be. This has been the Rob Rant. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. We'll get back into the Predators coming up a little bit later in the show. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and what he learned yesterday at the NFL Combine as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.